the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site, covering, of course, the Arizona Cardinals. For our first preview show of the week, it is the episode 495, closing in on 500 shows since we started way back in 2013. Seth Cox from AvengeOfTheBirds.com joins me as we talk about Cardinals 49ers. It's our previews, picks, and prop bet show. Seth, this is, you know, even though it's we're facing the number one team in the NFC this weekend. They've won five straight. The 49ers are absolutely rolling. This is a fun matchup, though, isn't it? I this is not like other weeks when we're like dread. I'm like, okay, I want to see what happens, and I don't know why it's like that, even though I don't expect the Cardinals to win or come close. We're talking about a game where we hope it's just competitive.
Yeah, and we were talking about it off the air. I mean, something we'll talk about as the night goes along, but that the opening line, 13.5, and I'm actually on right now, so we're recording at 4 p.m. Thursday, December 14th. The line on DraftKings Sportsbook is down to 12.
Oh,
so it's 1.5 points down. I'm guessing, and you probably would agree, this is, you know, coinciding with the 49ers laundry list of injuries that just came out today. I mean, it is absurd. And I joked on Twitter because, you know, when this opened, you and I talked about it on the Tuesday show. We didn't get super, super into it, but, this like 13.5 actually felt low. You're like, I'd probably take this up to about 16.5. So, you know, 17 points basically is about where the cutoff would be. And then 18 plus, you're like, okay, I might bet on the Cardinals. But right now, as it stands, and this is again Thursday, but this is the 2:35 p.m. So about an hour and a half before Justin and I recorded, the 49ers do not have Arik Armstead, Javon Hargrave, Dre Greenlaw, or Oren Burks, all starters on the defensive side of the ball. And they're missing two key reserve / kind of...
Oh, and Charvarius Ward, cornerback.
Yeah, Charvarius Ward is working out on the side, but the first group was not even at practice. So, like, they're not even on the field. Charvarius Ward's on the side working, and then they're two key backups, and obviously their starters are all pro, so it's not a huge deal, but both Elijah Mitchell and Ross Dwelly are not there as well. Ambry Thomas, the rookie who's looked really good, and then Spencer Buford, one of their offensive linemen, are both practicing after missing yesterday. So it's a huge list, and you look at the main ones, obviously Armstead, Hargrave, Greenlaw, and Burks, four starters in that front seven, that dominant, you know, aggressive attacking front seven. That's what catches your eye, right? Because we talked about it the other day. The Cardinals are just not equipped at this moment to contain this San Francisco 49ers offense.
No. I mean,
it's going to be a long day.
Well,
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, kind of let's look at them over the last five games. They've won five in a row. They are the number one, and they're averaging. So they've got 34 points, 27 points, 31 points, 42 points on the Eagles, 28 points. So they've scored 27 or more in five straight games. They have not allowed an opponent to reach 20 points in their last five games since the bye week. And so,
yeah, their defensive numbers
are astounding. And only turned the ball three times in their last five games, and two of them were last week. In the meantime, they have taken the ball away 10 times.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at it, and their numbers on the season, you know, are first in points per game, they're seventh in yards allowed, but just kind of just hit the nail on the head, right? You look at where they are in the last five games, and that's really what's telling the story. You know, in the last five games, their yards per game allowed has gone down to 277 yards per game. So for reference, the top team in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns, in 13 games is allowing 263. So they're literally 14 yards away. The number two defense just in yards allowed. And that's, you know, whether you like it or not, that's how the NFL ranks defenses. You know, it is what it is. The number two defense is 285. So they're 8 yards clear of the number two defense in yards per game. And they are the number one scoring defense in the NFL now. But to put that into perspective, they're at 205 points allowed in 13 games. That's about 15.8 points per game. During this stretch, they're allowing 13 points per game. So they're allowing less than two touchdowns per game in this stretch. And so it's just kind of painted the picture. Their defense has reached that next level that they were hoping to with the acquisition of Chase Young, right? They were good. I don't want to take anything away from what they were doing pre-Chase Young, but there were issues. I mean, the biggest one obviously being they just didn't feel like they had a guy across from Chase that could offer any pass rushing ability.
Across from Bosa, you mean?
Oh, yeah, sorry, from Bosa.
Nick Bosa.
Apologies, Nick Bosa.
Chase Young is that guy now, but before that it was just – and even last year, like you look at last year's numbers, like their insane pressure numbers were almost all Nick Bosa.
Right, and so now they've got a guy who, you know, in his five games, coincidentally, right, five games with the 49ers, he's got 1.5 sacks, he has 4 quarterback hits, like – all of a sudden, it's just really, really changed things for what he does. So, or what they do on defense. And then, you know, you look at pressure over coverage. It's something we talk about all the time, right? You can get away with the Cardinals, and to tie this into the Cardinals, obviously, we always preview the opponent, but to tie this into the Cardinals, you can get away with who the Cardinals have along the secondary, right? I mean, you look at their top corners, for instance. You have Charvarius Ward, who's a very good player. I don't want to take anything away from him. Diamondre Lenore and Ambry Thomas. I mean, clearly Ward would be cornerback one if you put both rooms together, right? But you can make a case that the Cardinals could have the 2 and 3 in that, and if you combine the rooms. The difference is Lenore and Thomas get to play behind Nick Bosa, Javon Kinlaw, Eric Armstead, and now, like we said, Chase Young. And so all of a sudden it's like, oh, these guys are way better than the Cardinals guys. and they are because of what's in front of them. So in that case, you know, you have to look at it from that perspective. So it all starts up front. So if you miss two of those guys, and they're both the interior guys, right? Hargrave and Armstead. Hargrave has 6 sacks. Armstead has 5 sacks. So you're talking about 11 sacks and 26 quarterback hits that they're missing. Just for a reference of like how good Nick Bosa is, 9.5 sacks and 32 quarterback hits by himself. Oof. So like, you know, again, we're talking about a guy that you mentioned in the same breath as TJ Watt, as, you know, prime Aaron Donald, prime JJ Watt. Like that's where he's elevating his game to right now. You know, he's becoming a great, great player, and obviously highlighted last year, 6th in MVP voting, was the defensive player of the year, obviously first team all pro. So like he's taking that, and his last 3 years are starting to get into, you know, that Hall of Fame level when you're talking about 15 and a half sacks, 18 and a half sacks. He has 9.5 this year. You know, he's just such a dominant force at that edge position. And it, what makes it even more impressive is, you know, coming off that ACL injury in 2020, he's done that in three consecutive years.
Yes.
You know, so he's just far and away the best probably player in this game on either side of the football, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane.
And then, you know, I don't know how many of you follow along with 49ers or follow closely with 49ers, but our you know, a good buddy of mine, Kyle Posey, who is the manager at Niners Nation, he's not even a Niners fan. He's just a football guy, but it's a great opportunity for him to cover a, you know, a big team and a big market. But it, one of the things he loves is he loves watching Fred Warner play. You know, he highlights it all the time, but he is, I mean, Fred Warner is truly a cheat code at the inside linebacker position or just the linebacker position overall with his ability to not just play downhill, which is what makes him, you know, so great in the eyes of so many, but it's his coverage ability that is just such a difference maker. And he is legitimately one of the best cover linebackers that we have ever seen in the game. His ability to run with wide receivers, running backs, obviously tight ends, is what makes him a unique player. And so when you're talking about, you know, all of a sudden you've got two all pros at each level, you know, at the front line and then in the middle, it makes it really tough. Now, they've lost their other all-pro in Talanoa Hufanga, who went down with the ACL injury. He's done for the season. You know, but he's one of their, you know, kind of vocal, spiritual, and physical leaders. He, you know, he's that borderline dirty player. And we remember the game, you know, at the end of the game against San Francisco in San Francisco, he and James Conner had a physical altercation. You know, that's what he brings. He gets that out of people with his play. And like I said, it's borderline, you know, dirty. But at the same time, you're talking about a guy that makes a huge, huge difference. And so that's going to be, something to watch going forward. But this is a defense that, I mean, we really can't say enough about the last 5 weeks. But, and again, this is probably where all that movement comes from. If they're a slightly different team without Hargrave, without Armstead, and without Dre Greenlaw, who, I mean, we didn't even really talk about Dre Greenlaw because Fred Warner's so freaking good that you don't typically talk about Dre Greenlaw, right? So it's a insanely talented group. If for some reason Charvarius Ward misses as well, I mean, you're talking about them missing their top player in their secondary, their number two linebacker, and then their number one and two interior defensive linemen. And we're still like, yeah, they're probably going to lose by double digits.
Yeah. And we look on the offensive side of the ball. Like, these are some of the numbers. Through 12 games, Christian McCaffrey has nearly 1,200 yards. I'm sorry, through 13 games. He's got 1,177 yards. He's averaging 5.2 per carry, 12 touchdowns. He's got over 1,600 total yards from scrimmage. Brandon Ayuk has over 1,000 yards already, already a career high. And then Brock Purdy, we know the Brock Purdy story, but looking at his last five games, okay? His last five games, he's got 13 touchdown passes and two interceptions. Talking to Kyle Madsen, where you guys will hear that show as it drops on Saturday. I already spoke with him on that show. He's playing at an MVP level, whether or not you believe he's the MVP. But he's got 20. Where's his number? So he's got over 3,500 passing yards right now. He's got 25 touchdown passes, seven interceptions. He's playing at, and we saw what he did against the Cardinals in week four, 20 of 21 passing, had a passing touchdown, had a rushing touchdown, basically had no resistance by the Cardinals defense. And he's just doing it at every level. He's doing it in the short game, the intermediate game, the long game. He's excelling at every single level. Deebo Samuel, his three game apps, like they've got Debo back and he's been a difference maker. He's got 900 yards from scrimmage this year in 11 games. But that sort of impact player where you can, he's a big playmaker, whether it's in the run game, in the pass game, just as a, this, you have to account for him. And so this is the Niners, and this is a number that you will hear later, that of the 10 most efficient offensive performances this season, the Niners have 5 of them, and they're the only team that have more than one. And multiple of those have come since week 5 after teams are making adjustments. And I stole that. So you're going to, that's a stat that y'all will hear on the next show that I just stole from Kyle. But this team is just, they are so much on both sides of the ball. And that's kind of the problem. They are, like, if you want to look at Brock Purdy's playing at an all-pro level. They have one of the best running backs in the NFL. They have a great receiving core. They have one of the best tight ends in the game. They have the best left tackle, so they have a good offensive line. They have two of the best. They have two of the most talented pass rushers. They have arguably the best pass rusher in the game, Nick Bosa, and one of the most talented guys in Chase Young. They've got great interior defenders, Eric Armstead and Javon Hargrave. They've got probably the best linebacker in the league, Fred Warner. And then, and in the secondary, they just don't, they don't have elite talent. They're just pretty good. And so they have no weaknesses at all when they're healthy.
Well, and you look at it, the biggest things you look at overall are things like, well, they don't have to, they don't have to blitz a ton. I know they do blitz some. Steve Wilks likes to blitz, but they don't have to blitz a ton. So you can drop 7 almost every play, and it makes it really easy. Is a very strong word, and I don't mean it that way, but it's much easier to cover, right? When you can get pressure or sacks with 4 guys. From there, you look at it, and you've got different things. I mean, you've got obviously an efficient offense. You have a dynamic running game led by, the best running back in the NFL. You have a four-headed monster in the passing game with Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and then, of course, Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield as well. That makes things, makes things easier for Brock Purdy. But you have a guy that's playing with confidence at an extremely high level. The big thing that, that gets thrown around with Brock is that he, a lot of his stuff is easy. And it, at times it is.
It's hard to argue the metrics though, because like his big time throws down the field, he's at the top. His numbers at every level of thrower are great. His yak numbers are comparable to other MVP season. Patrick Mahomes, the yak numbers he had were better than Purdy's. And so it's just, it makes me mad that they can screw up a draft and a quarterback pick the way they did and come out of it in a better position.
Yeah. And it's just, a lot of it's luck. That's all it is. And so you look at it and it's just one of those things that his big games are a lot of it, a lot of it does come from, like you said, yak. Like you go back to did they play on Thanksgiving? Am I misremembering that?
Yes, they did.
And you look at that game, on Thanksgiving where, some of the plays were just, one of those situations where you're like, oh, this is,
get the ball to Debo and he runs.
Yeah. And and other guys don't have that, but there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Nope. Like, and I've talked about this on other shows with Kyle, is the fact that, remember, Jimmy Garoppolo, supposedly a superior quarterback in talent, he wasn't doing his mic. What Brock does is deliver the ball in a way where they can. Jimmy Garoppolo often had guys open and his throws would stop them and would not hit them in stride and things like that. Brock is a fantastic player. Do I believe that the 49ers, if we took any number of quarterbacks and put them in the 49ers system, that would be better? Do I believe that Kyler Murray in that offense in San Francisco would make that team electric with like 45 points a game? I do think so. But nonetheless, you can't knock Purdy because look at what he's doing. Look, it's not – there's nothing about his game that is weak right now. And you can't deny that. And so that's what makes this 49ers team, on top of the talent of the defense, they have one of the best schemed offenses and run games in the league. They have versatility in formations and personnel because of what you can do with Kyle Juszczyk, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, and Deebo Samuel. You as a defense, depending on the personnel they have, you can't go big or light and still and gain an advantage because the Niners can just do something different because of the talent they have.
Right. And you know, they can win close games, they can win blowouts. You know, one of the interesting stats that you go back to or you look at when you're just talking about quarterback play in general is, and it's just something that you rarely see, that Brock Purdy, I want to double check to make sure I have this right. In his career. So he's played in, where he started 18 games. So he has a 15-3 record as a starter. In his career, he has won fourth quarter comeback or game winning drive. and that's not a shot at him. It's just like
he's never losing. And that's because right. You put yourself in a position to where you're not losing. And then you've got a defense that keeps the lead. And that's good. That's not a bad thing. He just hasn't had, but you know, you look at the game, one of their losses against the Browns, Purdy rallied them. He had a bad game and led them to what should have been a game-winning drive, and the kicker missed it.
Right, and so it's just one of those situations that, you know, he is a beneficiary of playing in a great system with great talent around him, but at the same time, like Jess said, like he's playing at an incredibly high level, so you can't take anything away from him in that case. So it's just, you know, it is what it is type situation. It's like Jess said, it's unfortunate that they're that lucky, but at the same time, you know, you can't take anything away from what they've accomplished or what they've done. You know, they look like the prohibitive favorites heading into this playoff season. Like they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. And I think, as Cardinals fans, that's what makes it so hard is that, you know, they, like Jess said, they screwed up unequivocally, made a terrible decision, and got away with it. And for Cardinals fans, even when they make the right decisions, they can't do anything to take advantage of it. And that, you know, is always the frustrating part for fans or those that are haters or however you want to look at it, because it's not so much hating as it is envy or jealousy that a team that has no business getting away with having the, you know, trading up and trading a bevy of picks for the third overall pick in a draft and now doesn't have to face any consequences.
right. Coming up next on the Rise Up Series podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on and talk about the Cardinals 49ers matchups, keys, matchups that we've got. That's coming up next on Rise Up Series. We're back on the Rise of Seared podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. The Cardinals play the 49ers for the second time this season. They lost 35-16. We've talked about some of the injuries and like keys to this game. I think one, it's like obviously number one, they can't turn the ball over. They have to do that. Like they've done the last 2 weeks. They haven't turned the ball over in 2 weeks. They have only two turnovers in four games with Kyler's return. And that before that, they had 10 turnovers in the previous five. And so that becomes kind of one of the main keys that you want to look at. But, I mean, I think also kind of plan number one, with that offense, you can't hang with them, really. And so what you have to do, they have to slow it down. So they've got to rely on the run game. It's got to be James. It's got to be the James Conner show, especially with no Eric Armstead, or expected to be no Armstead and no Hargrave, because that will, you can limit the possessions. And I think, you know, when we get to the picks, like our prop bets and stuff like that, that's one of the things we want to look at, is like pound the run game, get Conner involved, get Kyler involved, but get those legs involved, and the run game will be critical.
Well, and you'll be able to actually throw a little bit better if Hargrave and Armstead are out too.
But
that's the problem, is like we're making these picks on a Thursday. We really have no idea. And if you look at it, you know, passing touchdowns on, and we'll get to it, but like just so people understand kind of where this is coming from, passing touchdowns aren't even available for Kyler Murray for an over. They have the under, but they don't have an over number yet. You know, rushing props are out, but it's just like there's a lot that's going to hedge in those games or change in those numbers. And so Jess and I will give you what we think, but also maybe some numbers to like look at, just in case that those numbers aren't available when you go to make your bets. But you know, they're going to have to play keep away. I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? You know, and they're going to have to get points at the end of that keep away. So how do you do that? Well, I mean, like you said, run the ball, quick completions. You know, are you able to pass the ball? They have the number one run defense in the NFL for a reason.
Yeah. The Cardinals did run for 105 against them in week 4. Conner had 11 for 52 in that game. Dobbs used his legs a little bit, but here's the thing, like the two key players last game against Pittsburgh, Conner and Trey McBride. Conner, I expect could, but I don't know if we can count on Trey McBride being their main pass catcher when you've got a Fred Warner
defending. Well, and that'll be an absolute, if McBride only, and I say only like kind of lightheartedly, but like only goes for 60 yards or something like that in the game, that's a huge win. I don't think people realize that, because as Jess is kind of pointing out, like Fred Warner doesn't give up yards. Like he's literally the best coverage linebacker in the NFL. So, you know, if they're able to do anything passing wise on Fred Warner, it's a win. You know, how do they run the ball? You look at the games that have been close ish or that they've lost. And a lot of it comes from that. Obviously 160 yards to the Cleveland Browns, then 134 yards to the Cincinnati Bengals. Those are the two most yards they've given up all season, or games they've given up the most yards, you know, outside of the Minnesota Vikings game, where I think that was kind of Kirk Cousins just having one of his out-of-body nights where he, you know, plays better than everybody expects. So, you know, it's one of those things that you look at. Their defense this year has been prone to more letdowns than their offense, but their letdowns are still very few and far between,
as evidenced by they don't allow many points.
Right.
The matchups, obviously we have our eyeballs on the tackle and edge matchups, where you've got Nick Bosa, Chase Young, DJ Humphries, Paris Johnson. That'll be big in this matchup. If there's one thing that you don't want Kyler to have to, like if their running game's not going very well or it's going a little bit, you can't expect Kyler to drop back 40 to 45 to 50 times and then get harassed. So they'll need big games from DJ and from Paris Johnson. I will say this, though, interestingly enough, DJ Humphries has had a very good track record against Nick Bosa in his career. If there's one guy that he's been able to stymie, it's been pretty good.
Isn't that just weird?
Yeah.
Isn't that just a weird
thing? It is.
It's just weird when guys are just good against really good players. You know, so you look at it, there's a lot of different aspects of this game. You look at their games. They've only allowed one 300-yard passer all season. That was Kirk Cousins. You know, we mentioned the three 100-yard rushers. You know, you mentioned that in the last several games, they've basically won the turnover battle, right? You know, they forced two against Seattle the other time. They didn't force any against Philly, but I mean, I think I would rather turn the ball over and at least have that as an excuse as opposed to what Philly did, right? But in those five games, you know, you mentioned it, 10 turnovers, they've only turned the ball over three times. So if you're talking about keeping it close, that's where it starts. I mean, you go to the Jacksonville game, and I think you and I would agree that Jacksonville is unequivocally a better team than the Arizona Cardinals. They just are. They held them to 221 yards of offense, forced four turnovers, and won that game 34-3. Oh, by the way, that was in Jacksonville. So, obviously, you know, we remember the first Seattle game. I mentioned it, the Thanksgiving night game. You know, they hold Seattle to 220 total yards of offense, forced two turnovers, win 31-13. We just mentioned the Philly game. You know, Philly moved the ball a little bit, 330 yards of offense, but you know, 42-19. They just had no prayer. And so you look at those games and you're just like, well, that's where it gets tough. So how do you win? Quick game. Don't, obviously, as you mentioned, don't let Kyler get hurt or get hit very often. Opportunistic running the ball, you know, being able to get 2-3 yards when you need 2 or 3 yards, you know, 3rd and 2, you can't have to throw the ball on 3rd and 2. And then hitting a shot, you're going to have to hit a shot somewhere. You know, especially if Charvarius Ward's out, Ambry Thomas, you know, I mentioned it's been really good, but he's still, I think, a 3rd round rookie, 5th round rookie. I don't remember, but you know, he's been very good. But he's still a rookie, you know, so those are the guys you have to kind of take advantage of. And so when you look at it from those perspective, yeah, 3rd round rookie. Or no, he's a 3rd-year player. He just didn't play much the first 2 years. Jeez. You know, when you look at it, he and Demondre Lenore, they're not guys that ideally would be starting, but they've picked up their game and they're playing at a high level. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's a tall task, man. I mean, this is one of those games where, you know, when we were lamenting 2 weeks ago, how are these Pittsburgh Steelers 7-4? We look at this game, we go, how are the 49ers, how have they lost 3 games? Because they just look like that invincible team that doesn't lose football games.
Yeah, that will. And you look at those 3 games, they turned the ball over 7 times. And so that was kind of the, and they didn't have Debo Samuel, they didn't have Trent Williams in those games. We look at the receivers. The Cardinals have not gotten much from their receivers, but Michael Wilson in week 4 had a big game. Hollywood appears to be getting better. With Charvarius Ward out, that's going to leave Lenore and Thomas on the outside, Isaiah Oliver on the inside. Could we see another repeat game from Michael Wilson this week, or can we get anything from Hollywood?
I mean, I think that's important to even compete, right? I mean, obviously you need your best players to play well. That's an obvious statement, but you know, if they're going to be able to maintain this game, like I said, they're going to have to be able to hit some shots. The quick game, that's where they've missed Michael Wilson, is those big body target throws over the middle, quick slants, quick hitting routes. They haven't been able to run those. You know, Dortch does a nice job for the most part, but he still gets out muscled a lot of the times. And then that's just not the game for Rondell and Hollywood, as we've seen. So, you know, Wilson, that's where they've missed his presence more than anything to me, is that they just don't have somebody that can run those quick outs, those quick ins, and compete for the ball when it's in the air. You know, so that'll be big for him to be back. Hollywood, they just need him to get back into a rhythm of some kind. I don't know what the answer is by any means, but they just need him, you know, to get into some type of rhythm again and become a viable pass catching threat on a consistent basis. Or, you know, whether or not we think he's worth X amount of dollars, he's just not going to be able to be paid by the Cardinals, unless it just becomes like, hey, we'll give you, you know, $8 million for 1 year so you can come back and try to play better. Yeah. But, you know, thus far, he's not earning that $17, $18 million deal that we've seen thrown around by some prognosticators about what he'd get. And it just seems like it's moving further and further away from that and closer to maybe he is back next year on a 1 year deal, because that's the best he's going to be able to do with how he's performed this year.
Right, right. Any other matchups or keys that you see the Cardinals needing to be competitive tonight?
Obviously, can they get to Brock Purdy at all? Brock Purdy, you know, the offensive line with a healthy Trent Williams is a strength of the 49ers, but you have to be able to still make him move off his spot and make plays outside of structure. That's still the best way to get to him. I quite frankly don't know if they're going to be able to. It's something we've lamented all year. And you know, their receivers are kind of the antithesis of the Cardinals receivers, right? Like they're big, they're physical, and they're athletic, whereas the Cardinals have very athletic, undersized receivers. So those are, you know, it's going to be a tough one, man. And I don't think there's a matchup outside of maybe Matt Prater that you're like, oh, the Cardinals have an advantage there. And that's what makes this whole situation tough.
Yeah, in that matchup in week 4, the Cardinals had one sack and did not get their hands on the football at all. No pass breakups at all. So, yeah, that's got to change. That's definitely got to change. But in fairness, the 49ers also, they are one of the best in the league at getting their hands on the football in the pass game. They didn't have any pass breakups in that game either against Josh Dobbs. But coming up next on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on, talk about predictions and prop bets. That's coming up next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web, talking about the Cardinals matchup this weekend. Let's go ahead and get the prediction out of the way. I think you and I kind of have the same type of idea, though. I wouldn't surprise. So I think this is going to go one of two ways. I think the Cardinals can move the ball offensively, but I don't think they're going to be able to stop the 49ers at all. And so, you know, it's a 12 and a half. Well, draft, was it?
They're down to 12.
12.
Yeah.
It's 12 and a half still on BetMGM. And so the question is, do we think they can cover? I thought early in the week, yes. And based on my score prediction that I wrote for Sports Weekly, I will say they'll still cover. But I think it'll be the scenario that we didn't get last week, in week four. Remember, the Cardinals were covering. And then the Niners got down it at the goal line, and I hoped, and they got that Brock Purdy rush touchdown to get it up to the 19 points, and we hoped that he would just decide to kneel it down. No. So I thought we might get a cover last time, and we didn't. I have this game going 31-20. I could see it go in the best case scenario, where the offense is humming, that it's 38-27. I don't think the Cardinals are going to keep it within 10. I don't. But will it be less? Will they still be able to cover? I think that's a nice possibility. It'll be a 10-12 point loss where they are competitive, but still the Niners ultimately are unmatched. They have the Cardinals are doing things offensively and can't do anything defensively.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. It's going to be really tough to see them compete in this game. And so I think, you know, you look at it, I think I want to say that the Cardinals backdoor cover this, but we saw, as Jess pointed out last time, we thought they were there, and then the 49ers jerks and scored again. Well, and then we had Michael Wilson drop, and then, yeah, so, I mean, you had some chances. I think with the way the injury report is playing right now, if you got in at 13 and a half, you have to feel okay. 12 becomes an iffy number. Like, that would be like my, I would stay away from it. I'm going to pick 31-20. Niners win this game and the Cardinals cover late, but like, I wouldn't be shocked, as Jess kind of said, like, if it ends up being like, you know,
42-10. I could see it, a 42-10 game getting it out of hand in a hurry. And that would really stink, because I want the offense. I know the defense won't be able to do much. I want the offense to show something compete. This week. Yes.
Yeah, to at least compete. And that's the big thing. So, you know, that's that. There are a couple, you know, interesting props on here that I like. I want to get your opinion on a couple of them as well. First one, longest completion for Brock Purdy, 38.5 yards. That feels like a lock. You know, as we mentioned, the amount of weapons he has at his disposal, that just seems like one that's pretty easy there. Receiving props, you know, you look at the different guys. The longest reception one is there again, and I'm looking at a couple of them, and the one that kind of sticks out is Christian McCaffrey over 12.5 yards. The odds aren't great, -125, but it feels like, again, kind of a lock that,
right, you know, that he's going to break one at
least. Catch one out of the backfield. There is a plus money one I like. And again, it's tough when you're expecting a game to be this lopsided. So there's two that I like. So the first one I like, that I feel extremely confident in, even though we've talked ad nauseum about how good Fred Warner is, I like Trey McBride over 5.5 catches. He's a security blanket. I think he's going to get probably 13 to 15 targets in the game. So six, you know, hauling down half of those, or a little less than half, is a probability. But Brandon Ayuk is plus money. So plus 100. So basically even money, to have over 4.5 catches. And I feel really confident about that. Like,
yeah. And that's the DraftKings odds are better there, 'cause it's -105 for the same, total there, for over 4.5 at -105.
And then, you know, they don't have any ladders yet, but the other one I like, Debo Samuel over 77.5 rushing plus receiving yards. That feels like it's going to be fairly straightforward. He'll probably end up with 30 rushing yards and probably 50 to 60 receiving yards. So I don't think that's a tough one. The last one that I like, and I'm interested in your take, they have Kyler Murray's longest rush attempt over 13.5 yards. That's -115.
-110 on BetMGM.
Okay, so the only thing that concerns me, and this is where I want to get your opinion on this, is there are times when he has shown that he's not going to run. Now, this year, you know, you look at it, he's got a long of 13, a long of 22. The Pittsburgh game, his longest was only 9. But again, I take that game in general with a grain of salt. But the LA game's the one I kind of stare at, right? He only rushed once for 2 yards, obviously longest attempt 2 yards. That's where I'm like, if it doesn't happen early, is it going to happen, or is he going to try to sit in the pocket and make plays in this game? That's the only concern I have with that one.
You know, but if it's a competitive game, then I could see, like, if they're behind but competitive, that's where I think his rushing yards come in, where he might bust a big one. If they're losing by a ton, no. If they're winning by a lot, he's pretty, like against Pittsburgh, he doesn't do it much. And then they sit with the ground game, and they run with Connor and things like that. So if it's a 10-point game, I think we might see that, because then he's like, I'm going to make a play, and we need it. But my favorite one is a basic one, and that's James Connor. They've got 51.5 is the total, the projected total for his rushing yards. 51.5 yards minus 115. I think it's a lock. In fact, we don't have the alternate lines yet. I would expect him to be at about 70. So if you can get plus 70 or 70 or more, 75 or more, I bet you'll probably see those at about plus 150. I really like those. That line is more than anything because they're going to lean on him, and because of the absences in the interior, the defensive line for the 49ers. He only had 11 carries in week 4, 11 for 52. And that was that. I don't know. They set it at 51.5. It seems like that one is as sure as any to get.
Yeah, I like that one as well. That one looks good. You know, it's just this is a tough one, man. I mean, like Jess said, they have on DraftKings right now over 51.5 at minus 115. So. I just would say kind of hammer that one. If the alternative odds come out, look at, you know, laddering 60, 70. Man, this is just such a difficult one. The one I wanted, and it's interesting that they don't have the 49ers sack numbers on here, because you would figure that those are probably going to be bad odds, right? But they have Prater over 1.5 field goals made at plus 170. It feels like if they're going to score, it's going to be a couple long field goals, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially the way he's kicking right now and the confidence that they have in him.
And it's indoors.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that as well.
And then the other one, Moody's over 3.5, and that's plus money. I would actually take that as well. Over 3.5 extra points. Sorry. Extra points made. So that would be 4 touchdowns. I think they're going to score at least 4 touchdowns in this one.
Here's one that's a good one that's plus money. Alternate total. That would be at 50, over 50 at plus 110. Or like if you just want to go at 49.5, over 49.5, and that's a plus 100. So that goes either like the 31 to 20 type scenario, 30 to 21, or 42 to 10 still does it too.
Yeah, and I think both of those are plausible scenarios too. So it's tough, man. This is a tough week. Obviously coming off this week, you feel if they compete, you're going to hear Jess and I's voice, even though coming off a win, coming off a what was probably their most dominant performance of the season, you're probably going to hear us if it's, you know, a 31-24 loss, 31-21 loss, Jess and I are going to be like, hey, this ain't too bad. And we'll probably speak
a good loss.
Right. We'll probably speak with a little more confidence heading into that Chicago Bears game. If it's 42-10, we're going to not have any idea what to say or expect or because you just don't know who's going to show up at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, 2-2 since the return of Kyler. We're going to put the number at, you know, less than 0.5% that the Cardinals win this game. So, you know, there is a chance, as Harry would say from Dumb and Dumber, but it's a very, very low chance. But a competitive game for Jess and I will quell our desire for what we want to see in this and kind of get us to the point where we're like, okay, we're okay with that. But, you know, if they come out and play like they did against the Rams, against the Browns, you know, that is going to be where we go, ugh, and kind of, I don't know. I mean, this is one of those games where we've never seen Jonathan Gannon's team off a bye, obviously. The 49ers are hurting and they're coming off a 5-game stretch that, you know, we've laid out in the last two shows about how hard it was and in terms of on paper and then how easy they made it look in the games. And so, you know, and their last two performances, you know, over 1,000 yards, from scrimmage, scoring, 70 points in two games against two teams, you know, obviously the Eagles, the number one seed at the time. And then at the time, the Seahawks were, I think, the 7th seed. And now, you know, they just, they go out and put on a different display than anything we've seen from what the Cardinals can do. So it just makes it a little tougher.
And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Searhead podcast, Best of Cardinals Talking Web, episode 495. You will hear me with Kyle Madsen drop tomorrow, dropping on Saturday. But Seth and I will be back next week to talk about the Cardinals and their likely loss to the 49ers. So we'll wrap that up. Thanks for listening. As always, that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. This is the Rise Up Searhead podcast. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Searhead podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Searhead.